I Hate the News is the weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I am Sunil Dasgupta. The week of October 1st, 2024, Arlington County judge strikes down a new zoning law allowing more housing. The city of Gaithersburg approves a new redevelopment plan for Lake Forest Mall that needed a zoning change. Approaching the grim anniversary of the October 7th attack on Israel, some Reform Jews from around the country gather in Washington, D.C. to protest the war. Musicians from Washington, D.C.'s own National Symphony Orchestra went on strike last Friday with surprisingly quick results. And unions come to cannabis stores. And more. Stay with us.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by UMBC's Political Science Program. If your goal is to make a meaningful impact with a career in local, state, or federal government, discover what this degree can do for you. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
I Hate Politics is a podcast about our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools and streets, and our local governments as they function in diverse and democratic societies. This means our politics are messy, dirty, sometimes corrupt, with often self-serving politicians. But no matter how much we may hate politics, we are never exempt from it, even when we refuse to participate. In fact, the purpose of politics is to keep society functioning precisely when we don't agree with each other, like now. Music for this episode comes from Washington, D.C. area post-punk rock band Gray Swift. Mike Mangiaricino on guitar and vocals, Fabrizio Cariani on guitar and backing vocals, Evan Hurd on bass, and Chris Blackburn on the drums. The songs come from their album, Closure Ends. Last year, 2023, Arlington County in Northern Virginia became the first local jurisdiction in the Washington, D.C. region and perhaps the East Coast to allow homes to be subdivided in 4 to 6 units in places previously zoned exclusively for single-family homes. This was an effort to respond to the housing shortage and rising housing costs in the region. Other jurisdictions, including Montgomery County, are considering similar measures. But last Friday, a judge in Arlington rejected the change, saying that the county had not sufficiently studied the impact of the new policy. He ordered the county to stop issuing permits for multiple unit buildings in single-family zoned areas. The county is going to appeal the decision, and the region and arguably the country itself are watching. If judges widely decide against the new policy, it will be a much harder road to mitigating the housing shortage. If Arlington's zoning law change is allowed to move forward, other jurisdictions are likely to follow promptly. In Gaithersburg, the city has approved plans to redevelop Lake Forest Mall. Here is City Council member Neil Harris.
This past Thursday evening, the 26th of September, the Gaithersburg City Council approved the plan for the redevelopment of the Lake Forest site. It's 102 acres in the heart of Gaithersburg that was formerly an enclosed shopping mall and represents a multi-billion dollar investment in our city. As with many shopping malls, Lake Forest had its prime back in the 80s and 90s, but in recent years went into decline. WRS, a developer from South Carolina, acquired the central portion of the mall and approached the city to discuss the possibilities. Then they went forward and acquired the 4 anchor department stores. That was great news. But then they brought us a site plan. It was focused on retail with a collection of big box stores and a sea of asphalt parking. From the city's point of view, it was exactly the opposite of the direction we wanted to go. So we decided to put the project into moratorium for a year and had our staff develop a new master plan for the site. That process included dozens of meetings and listening sessions with thousands of members of our community, including residents, nonprofits, business leaders, and WRS as a developer. After a year, the master plan was complete. Next, the site had to be rezoned from all retail to mixed use. There was much interest expressed in providing a recreation center for neighboring youth, as well as an emphasis on the need for more affordable housing. And at the end, the rezoning was approved and the plan moved forward. The next step was the sketch plan, which outlined the features of the site. Last week's meeting was the last step for the City Council on the plan itself. The schematic development plan was approved, and demolition of the mall is now scheduled for 2025. Going forward, WRS will present site plans for each step in the development, which will be reviewed by staff and the Planning Commission. Development of the site will take place over the next decade and more, and provide up to 1,600 housing units, plus job sites, restaurants, and some shopping. We see this project as a huge win for the city that will lead to a revitalization not only of the site itself, but also the northern and eastern parts of our city, including Old Town.
The Lake Forest redevelopment plan needed a zoning change from commercial to mixed use, which is far less controversial than changing from previously single-family zoned neighborhoods to multiple unit housing. Montgomery County Council is currently considering a plan to allow up to 4 units in single-family zoned areas half a mile around transit stations. Public hearings on the subject have been overwhelmingly negative. The County Council is expected to pass some form of the change, but details and timing are up in the air. In Montgomery, developers have been unwilling to build for many years because of permitting and tax burdens, and belatedly, the 2023 rent stabilization law. The challenge in front of local governments faced with housing shortage is how to change the regulatory regime to stimulate home building. October 7th marks the one-year anniversary of the Hamas attack on Israel, and the war since has killed tens of thousands of people and now expanded into Lebanon. The war has divided opinions around the world, and it has divided opinions among American Jews, as it has among Israelis themselves. Reform Jews, the liberal wing of American Jewry, who constitute about 40% of Jews living in America, a significantly larger number than any other group, are among the most internally contested. While the Union of Reform Judaism, the national body, has supported Israel and continued support for Israel in the United States, a dissenting group of Reform Jews have formed an organization called Reform Jews for Justice. And they were in Washington, D.C. last week, coming from all across the country to protest in front of the Union of Reform Judaism's Religious Action Center and in front of Capitol Hill.
My name is Rebecca Pierce. I'm here with Reform Jews for Justice, calling for a ceasefire and arms embargo against Israel to end the ongoing war in Gaza.
My name is Laurel. I use she, her pronouns. I'm from Santa Fe, California, originally. I grew up at Rodos Shalom and am a proud Nifty alumni and proud Jewish camp kid.
Hello, my name is Michael Margolin. I live in Ithaca, New York. I am a Jewish educator and spiritual leadership crew at Tikkun V'Or Reform Temple in Ithaca.
My name is Rosie. I use she, her pronouns, and I participated in Lataken. And then 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to come back for 6 weeks with the Mahon Kaplan program at the RAC.
My name is Lane, I use they, them pronouns, and I grew up in the Reform movement. I went to Jewish summer camp, I was a camp counselor. In the spring of 2020, I went on URJ Heller High, which is the URJ's semester-long program in Israel.
My name is Sarah Perlmeter. I am one of the founders of Reform Jews for Justice. We are a collective of Reform Jews dedicated to advancing justice and collective liberation. We have witnessed horrific loss of life over the last year. 1,200 Israelis killed by Hamas, hundreds taken hostage, and an onslaught by the Israeli military that has massacred well over 42,000 people. We must do everything in our power to end this horror. Reform Jews for Justice was created following an attempt to encourage leaders of our movement to wield their power as the largest population of Jews in North America to support a ceasefire as the only way to end the indiscriminate violence against Palestinians and to bring the hostages home. We stand in a firm belief that Jewish safety need not come at the sake of Palestinian humanity. We will not stop the work of holding our movement accountable for the continued harm that their decisions have contributed to. And, in parallel, we have committed to taking matters into our own hands. The reform institutions cannot and do not speak for the movement's entirety. We are proud to stand for over 1,000 Reform Jews who represent the movement's diversity across age, race, ethnicity, and region. We represent clergy, lay leaders, synagogue presidents, camp counselors, youth group board members, educators, and staff. I, myself, am the daughter and daughter-in-law of four Reform rabbis. We are the present and the future of the Reform movement. Today, we are in DC lobbying, saying not another bomb. The only way to ensure that Israel and Hamas will agree to a ceasefire and hostage deal that will save lives is by halting the flow of weapons that Israel is using to prolong the bloodshed. We honor the Reform movement's deep tradition of fighting for what is just. As Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel said, "When I marched in Selma, I prayed with my feet." Today we pray with our feet by coming to Capitol Hill to ask our representatives to push for an arms embargo.
Ha'ayichon v'yomechon u'chaye d'vol Beit Yisrael ba'agala u'bizman kariv b'imru amen. Yehei shmei rabah mevarach le'olam omei omaya yitbarach v'yishtabach yitpa'ar v'yitromam v'yitnaseh.
That's the mourner's Kaddish that Jews say when someone has died. After months of collective bargaining, the musicians of Washington, D.C.'s own National Symphony Orchestra, the biggest of the Kennedy Center's house bands, decided to go on strike. But within hours of striking work last Friday, Kennedy Center management came back with an acceptable counteroffer. All is well, and here is veteran violist Jennifer Mundy, who is the chair of the orchestra committee, which leads the bargaining with the management.
We got a little extra money, and we shortened the term from what we were hoping to get, just so we could start over again, try in a couple of years' time.
So you did not get the four-year term, instead you got 18 months, is that correct?
That's correct. But the four-year term was their request originally anyway. So we weren't really looking to lock in something that long.
How much did you get in money?
We got 4% in each year. We maintain now, even now, that 25 is completely reasonable for a four-year term. Look at New York Phil got 33% in 3 years. Their last best final was 13 over 4 years. I wish that they had seen our value, but this is okay.
It turns out that your big gala is September 28th.
So fortunately, we settled before the second rehearsal, and we managed to get the second rehearsal in.
And clearly, this is a big deal enough for the Kennedy Center to panic over the strike. And so they give in, and everything's all cool now.
I wouldn't say everything's all cool, but we have a little bit of time to try and mend these fences. So that will be, it's all cool for the gala. That'll be great.
That's right. And yeah. And the gala is important because they do raise a lot of money by that, right?
Yes. It's a big moneymaker.
Is it your expectation that in 18 months things will actually change, that, or are you going to be back to kind of where you were early September?
That's a really good question. I really don't know. However, David Rubenstein, the chairman of the Kennedy Center, is leaving on January 1st. His replacement has not been announced. That's a political appointee. So we don't know what's going to happen once he leaves. One of the things he's going to do once he leaves the chairmanship of the Kennedy Center is to be the chairman of the Kennedy Center Foundation. And it remains to be seen exactly what the relationship would be with the Kennedy Center and what it would do and who's going to be in it and all of that stuff. So I don't know. I really don't know.
Jennifer Mundy, thank you and good luck.
Why, thank you. It was so nice to talk to you.
More union news, but let's back into it a little. Maryland's newly legalized marijuana industry is booming. The state reported taking in $22 million in taxes alone for the three-month period, April to June 2024. The first quarter of legalization, July to September 2023, the state collected $12 million. The next two quarters were about $14 million, and then the big jump this spring. Extraordinarily, tax collection in the capital counties, Montgomery and Prince George's, as well as western and southern counties, remain the same as it was in the first quarter of cannabis legalization last year. The biggest growth is coming from central counties, Howard, Anne Arundel, Baltimore County and City, Carroll and Hartford. The next biggest increase has been on the Eastern Shore. The growth in business and workers has brought the prospect of unionization. Matthew Saundry is an inventory keeper at the Apothecarium store in Burtonsville, Maryland, where the workers just voted to unionize.
We were trying to unionize for a couple of months, and we needed to get everyone to sign cards and get everyone to be on the same page and to like understand what the union is. So it took a lot of conversations, and then eventually we got cards, and I got all my coworkers signed cards. And once that happened, the union notified the company. Now it's mandated that we have to have an election. And our election was held at the beginning of the month on September 11th. We voted unanimously.
What is a particular need you want to unionize over?
Biggest things are our pay and our working conditions. It's not minimum wage, but it's pretty darn close. Budtenders or wellness associates, as they're officially called, I think they make $16 an hour. The union has already said that they're like, we're going to negotiate for something that covers dues and then gives us a raise on top of that.
What has been the management's response since?
Since then, not particularly much. Beforehand, we had some conversations with some HR representatives and people from upper management showing up to our store to like kind of talk to us and like ask questions.
They didn't try to dissuade you?
Maybe a little bit, but I think that they they put a little more effort into trying to dissuade the other location that unionized before us. And I don't think it went well for them. I think that it made the workers like more confident or more strengthened their resolve more, you know?
What is the union you're working with?
Our union is UFCW, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and we're with the Local 400 group.
Matthew Saundry, thank you for taking the time. Good luck as you move forward.
Thank you for having me.
Apothecarium is owned by TerrAscend, a Canadian company listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange. TerrAscend owns 4 stores in Maryland. The maximum number a single company can. DC has announced it is closing down the circulator service that connects key points inside the city, laying off 90 workers. WMATA has released its financial numbers for the last fiscal year and declared a $28 million surplus, which, on a $5 billion budget, is pretty close financial management. That's all for this episode. Be sure to check out our feature interview series that comes out Friday mornings. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producer, Adama Gay, with support from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Washington, D.C. area post-punk rock band Gray Swift. Mike Mangiaricino on guitar and vocals. Fabrizio Cariani on guitar and backing vocals. Evan Hurd on bass. And Chris Blackburn on the drums. The songs come from their album, Closure Ends.